Welcome back to Dude, Could You Imagine? The show that asks what if and explores the hypothetical and absurd. I'm your host, Fritz Frivolous. Now let's meet our contestants and explain the rules for our audience. The rules are simple. Our two contestants, Will and Tom, will place these neural transmitters on their heads, and then they will be placed into a deep coma-like state. From this point, I will ask them a question or give them a scenario to which they must answer, all while the neural transmitters give us a glimpse into what they are imagining. So, Will and Tom, are you ready? As ready as I'll ever be.
Indeed.
Well, you heard him, folks. Let's get ready to play Dude, Could You Imagine? And the question is, what if exoskeleton technology was made available to the public at a reasonable price point? Okay, William.
Okay, Thomas. Laughing maniac.
We did get our question from Fritz already, and time that question was, what if exoskeleton technology became available to the public at a reasonable price point?
Now, define reasonable price point.
So yeah, I know. I was just about to say that. What I feel is a reasonable price point is something that can be sold in, like, you know, Walmart, CVS, stuff like that. And
CVS?
Honestly, I feel
CVS.
Yeah, even CVS. Yeah, CVS pharmacy. You know, okay. Like, so, I would stay away from Walgreens. You know what I mean? Those are probably crap pieces of shit ones, but
sure. I mean, CVS ain't gonna be much better, I don't think.
I feel like. And don't get me wrong, you know, though they would, if this type of technology became available to the public, I feel like, you know, there's going to be many different brands, and some of them are going to be way more better quality than others and have a higher price point.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, if the lowest probably that you'll find and the cheapest types would probably be somewhere be around $200 to $250.
Wow. Okay. I was going to say, like, yeah, let's set some parameters. That's a lot lower than I thought.
Yeah, that's what,
this was going to be like, you know, the lower end ones, maybe the price point is like $499.
You said $200 to $250 would be lower than what you thought?
Yeah, I'm actually surprised. Like, cause I'm trying to think, like, $250, like, I don't know if I want to test that exoskeleton suit and push it very far at all.
Wait, what price point were you thinking of?
I was thinking that the lowest end ones would probably run at $499, $599 in that. Like the price of, like, I don't know, a PS5.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Actually, you know what? Now that you compared it to that, to be honest with you, that does make more sense. I forgot. You know what? Like, we do sell a lot. They do sell a lot of things that are around that price point.
They do,
especially
like drones,
for high electronics grades. Yeah,
you know what drones I mean? Like, get sold at that price point, and there's obviously like a way. Okay, so that's the low end, and
yeah, that would be low end.
Okay, and the low end. Let's talk about these exosuits, because like the exosuits that I know about that are real, they are, from my understanding, they don't look like they're electronically powered. It seems like they are like powered through like leverage and hydraulics. But they are like to call it a suit is I think, if you haven't seen these things,
no,
I think that's a misdirect. It's like a
I would not call it a suit.
Like an exoskeleton that goes around your body, made of metal, and you know, it has hinges and joints, and it's designed like, it makes you taller, obviously, because like when you're in it, like you're standing a little bit, you're inside it in kind of a above, like I think it adds like a foot to your height probably when you're in these things.
Yeah. So, you know, this is a perfect time. We should explain for our listeners, just in case if some people aren't familiar with what we're talking about.
I'm sure they're
okay. So you're right. There are two different styles. Like, this technology actually does exist. So we're not talking about fake, you know, something fake that isn't real.
We're also not talking about Iron Man suits, you know?
No, yeah, we're not talking. Yeah, they're deaf. Oh man, that's not even in the same category.
No, not
as
at
what
all.
We're talking about. No, basically, this technology is real. You know, we're just going to discuss the fact that, you know, right now this technology is, I think, only available to like probably the military and just, you know, things like that. It's not something you see the general public using, but the two different styles that I have seen, you're right. One of them is kind of wearable to the point where you also step into something. So you are a little bit taller than you normally would be.
Yeah.
About like half a foot, maybe a foot.
Okay.
Maybe.
About 6 inches.
But the other type that I saw, and this is the one that I always picture in my head, is the one that they were testing out in the military. And it's almost like a wearable backpack. And the backpack has like extendable arms with joints and hydraulics. And, you know, it's not just hydraulics. I think it's also powered. And these limbs that come out connect to your limbs. So it doesn't make you taller or anything, but the pack on the back that you wear, which also goes around your torso, you know, augments your movements already. So like when you're running, if you turn that pack on, you can run faster and longer before you're getting tired. And if you were lifting something, it would help you lift whatever you're lifting so that your strength would be, you know, more powerful. You know what I mean? Like okay. You would be stronger in a sense that like, that's the type of things I've seen.
So I pulled up military exoskeleton suits, and I do see these like backpack things, but they're not very bulky. And didn't you say like the one that you're talking about, like it extends their reach?
Oh yeah. Some of them also extend their reach. Like it would be like controlling, I guess like a claw. You know what I mean? Yeah, like your own hands and fingers. I think some of them might even have these like these claw type, you know, mechanical fingers, I guess you would call them. And then your fingers are attached to, you know, little like pulley system things that when you move your fingers, it corresponds to the mechanical ones.
Okay. Oh, okay. I do see some of the stuff we're talking about. Okay. And so that would be kind of on the higher end, is the more actually the ones that are more like electronically powered or whatever these are.
Yeah, okay. I would say those are probably going to start running you up into like the couple grand. You know what I mean? At the very least.
Yeah. Okay. So, have you ever played the game Dead Space?
No, but I think you've told me about that game before.
Dead Space is such a good game, and I'm pretty sure they're coming out.
Aren't they remaking that?
Yeah, a remake.
Maybe I have to get that.
Yeah, absolutely. Dude, it's one of the best horror games ever made. I put it on par with the best of Resident Evils and the best of Silent Hills. Like, it is up there.
Wow.
Yes, absolutely.
Really? How did I never play this game?
I don't know, man. It was very, very popular when it came out, and it has a huge following. That being said, that's not really that important. The main character.
Yes, it is. That's very important.
The main character, his name is Isaac, and he is a like a mechanic and a technician, right? And you, mild spoilers for the beginning of Dead Space. You have been sent to this colony that sent out a distress signal, and their power went out, and a bunch of other, like, they were having a bunch of like big bad tech problems. Of course, you know, it's putting thousands of people's lives in danger. And so you and your team have been sent out, and you are like the main tech. And in the idea here is that you're going there to like fix their big technology that's going on the ship. Obviously that's not what happens, but he has this thing on the suit. It's like an exoskeleton suit, but it also serves as like a space suit. So it's kind of a little bit of both.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But one of the cool things, about the suit, cause this game's in the third person, right? So you can see Isaac, his back and his head and his body. And this suit really looks like it would like super reinforce both your strength and your endurance, because like all up and down the spine, it just has all these like, these metallic kind of like layered grids. And it looks sturdy as hell. And then he's got a pretty wicked badass looking helmet and whatnot. And like, this is like, this suit is the reason that you're even able to fucking survive, because like, he's just a normal guy. He doesn't have combat training, but his suit has access to like all these different like heavy duty, tools, you know, like laser cutters and saws and a bunch of other bullshit. And certain types of guns too. And so he's able to actually fight these crazy zombies. One of the weird things about Dead Space is that, you know, in your average zombie movie or game or whatever, you always want to go for the head.
Yeah.
Or the body, but usually the head. Dead Space is the absolute opposite. You want to chop off the limbs. That is how you, nothing else will down these fucking things. You have to chop off all the fucking limbs. And there's reasons for that as you get into the war.
Yeah.
But yeah, whenever I think of like military exosuits or exosuits, even just for like, the construction or heavy labor, fields, I always think of Dead Space and I think about that suit. You should look up that suit, by the way.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? I should look up that.
Yeah. I'm pulling up myself too. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, you know what, dude, that picture that you just sent right now from looking that up, that's kind of like what I picture in my head, but I've always pictured the type that's like, so I picture that's what somebody would wear. Like, you know how like when Iron Man gets in his suit, he kind of has like this black, I don't even know what's the material made out of, but he kind of has this other tight skin suit on him.
Yeah,
right?
He does. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So the picture that you sent, I always looked at people wearing that and then having like this other almost spider-like, insect-like, limbs that would come out of a back suit. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And connect to their arms, like in their legs, so that when you move your arms and their legs, you know what I mean? Those things are moving as well. And the little power pack that they're extended from the back is the power. You know what I mean? That's where it would help you lift or move or whatever.
Right. So are we operating under the assumption that both of these types of exoskeletons kind of exist?
Yeah, but the kind that you're talking about, I think that's very high end.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and the type I'm talking about where it's just like a pack that you wear I think that's a more simple design. That's probably the lower end.
Right. So the first thing, I think the most obvious thing is the place that you and I and most of the public would be seeing these things the most, like to the point where it'd be commonplace, would be anywhere where there is heavy lifting involved. So construction work,
true.
Mm-hmm. Warehouse working, you know, I don't know, mechanical engineerings and labor and stuff like that. I think not only would it become like commonplace, it would probably just become super standardized and even the law, because like, these things are going to help protect people's legs and most importantly, people's backs, people's shoulders from ever getting injured. Not ever, but like,
yes, that's...
there are people like who would have got injured in their line of work inevitably or just highly likely. And this will help prevent just so many of those. So every insurance company is going to want every one of these companies that could be utilizing these things to utilize these things. So like, companies are going to be incentivized to, like, everyone's going to be putting these for the job. And of course, I don't think these workers are going to have to pay for their own. Like, they'll probably be company owned.
Man, you're hitting all the key points that I was hoping you were going to get to, because that's exactly what I wanted to talk about. I literally thought the same.
Yeah, I mean, and this is one of those rare cases, especially on this show, where we get very doom and gloom very easy. This is just a win-win in the workplace. As far as I can tell, I think there are maybe just a couple little cons to all these pros, which I'll get into in a second.
I do have some doom and gloom though.
Let's finish this.
Yeah, let's finish this line of our thought first, though, because I think you are right. I was just going to say, you are right, you know, about like the main places I think that this would look commonplace would be in certain jobs where it's not going to be owned by the employee. It's going to be owned by the company. And then like you come into work like, okay, hey, Joe, you're going to be wearing suit number two today. You know, sign this out or whatever, you know, or
not suit two. That's the one that stank ass Johnny always. always wears.
Yeah, I know exactly. Like, oh man, is that the one that Stan wore the last time? He may, you know, he sweats too much, man. Like, you know, yeah. or I was gonna say also, I bet you every, like almost every cop car or ambulance, any kind of first responder, fire departments, every fire truck will probably have one in well, their okay, like okay. trunk or wherever. Maybe not every police unit. They might have like a special like, so oh, we need this, call this unit out, you know.
Let's wait before we get to emergency services, because there's a lot there.
Okay.
I kind of want to finish what I was saying when it comes to like the private sector of like the labor sector, if you will, and that like it's mostly a win-win. You know, injuries are going to drop, and companies are probably going to have to pay out way less than workers' comp and insurance. And productivity will go up. And this is where some of the cons come in, is I think because of productivity will go up, I'm sure companies will try and exploit that to the greatest of their ability. But that being said, productivity going up isn't necessarily a bad thing, and companies are going to company, and like we as the workforce got to figure out, you know, how to counterbalance that. But let's talk about emergency services, because I can definitely see this infiltrating the police force, not so much for the injury aspect, but I mean a little bit, but and definitely not necessarily for the lifting aspect, but because what you said about being able to run without getting tired.
Yep, exactly.
I think police forces would love to get their hands on this when it comes to running down criminals, because they're gonna want to just be like, you know, freeze, and the judge just gotta power up, and then they flick their, then they just start running like a fucking marathon Olympian runner, and they just run whoever they're trying to get down.
Seriously, like they would probably try to find any excuse possible to like they're probably going to be like, you freeze,
I should power up, right?
Yeah, they're going to be like, freeze, criminal, or whatever, you know. And then all of a sudden they're like, do you want to run? Are you sure you don't want to run? You know what I mean? Like they're going to give them that chance.
Even give you a head start. Here, look, I'll close my eyes.
Yeah, I know. Okay, I'm turning around now. Like,
I'm gonna count to 10. Yeah. But and then let's talk a little bit about like first responders, like EMT paramedics. I could see one of these rigs being on board some ambulances. So you know, they don't talk about this a lot, but one of the most stressful type of call, I mean, there's a lot of stressful type of calls as an EMT or paramedic. But one of the most stressful type of calls that they don't talk about very much is responding to an emergency
bariatric
situation.
Call.
No, not, what'd you say?
Bariatric call.
Bariatric?
Yeah, like someone who may be like extremely overweight.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what I was referring to. And they have to be transported. And when I say extremely overweight, I mean, I've been on a couple calls when I was an EMT. With people in this weight size category, we're talking 600-700 pounds. Like this is heavy enough where like four fully grown in shape men aren't enough. And also like,
yeah, they're struggling.
Yeah. And also like, if there's stairs involved, it's not happening at all. Like it's, you know, they have to get cranes for some of these people. They have to cut open, bust open walls, break down doors and all kinds of other stuff. That being said, like having some of these in a fleet could be useful, considering that those calls are common enough to not be considered, I would say, uncommon. So I could see a use there as well. Finally, though, let's get to firefighters. I think this is where it gets tricky. Go ahead.
Real quick, I just wanted to also too, another call that you probably do hear a lot about is when they say like, oh, we had to call in the jaws of life to like rip open a car door or something for a crash accident that they have to get access to. And I was thinking that's what this suit would probably replace.
You know, possibly. The main thing there is how are these? I know these exoskeletons are really good when it comes to pushing and pulling and lifting, but how are they when it comes to gripping? Grip strength is kind of a different thing.
Yeah, that's correct. I was also going to bring up the fact that we never really discussed, I guess it all depends on what, I guess, you know, what version quality of the suit you have. But I'm talking about the higher end ones that these first responders would probably have access to. I would think they would have attachments or things that would be like for gripping, cutting. And I think they would be probably strong enough to handle the kind of calls they would go on. You know what I mean? At least that's what I would think in my head. Like, yeah, I mean, otherwise possibly, it would kind of be like, why?
I could also just see like another, like a specialized type of ambulance where it's like, oh, these are the powered suit dudes who we call
for specific scenarios.
It's like, hey, you know, the dispatch gets a call and it's, you know, a situation that calls for someone it's a situation that's suitable for someone who's suited. So, you know, they'll send the suited unit, you know?
Today's show is brought to you by Lonely Helper Exosuits. Having a hard time lifting heavy items? Never a friend nearby to help because you have no friends? With the Lonely Helper Exosuit, you can say to heck with friends and do all of your chores with ease. Buy now and receive 25% off with a mail-in rebate. Available at all Walmarts. We are also sponsored by Patreon. Looking to become more than just a patron? Become a Patreon member at patreon.com/dudecouldyouimagine. And show your support. And finally, Apple Podcasts. Take a bite into the apple and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Now, let's get back to some more Dude, Could You Imagine? Yeah, let's call the EXO unit, you know.
Oh, that's way cooler than what I said. Yes, the EXO unit. I love that. That's fucking cool. But okay, let's talk firefighters real quick because I think that's way trickier. So the thing about firefighters is, although most of the time they're not actually fighting fires, everything that they do and everything they wear and stuff has to be like, what's the word I'm looking for? Designed to be able to withstand crazy amounts of smoke and heat and all kinds of other bullshit. So whatever exoskeletons they get their hands on, these exoskeletons have to be able to endure and be safe to wear in these super dangerous environments. And that's not that easy. Like, you know,
that's true.
Especially the we're talking about like powered, you know, these exoskeleton or these exosuits are, some of them are powered. Like is the power source and the wiring in the unit, is it going to be able to take extreme heat? Because if that thing blows, then what are, do they go stiff? Can they not get out? You know what I mean? From what I know about the firefighting industry and how like rigorously everything needs to be tested, all the tech they use, all the equipment they use, has to be like certified and tested and all this other stuff. I think their rigs would either be just way more durable and above and beyond like what your average consumer could ever get their hands on, or they just wouldn't be suitable for the job, so it wouldn't be something they'd...
Yeah, I feel like if anything, where this type of technology is going to really shine for first responders is going to be your medical, like the ambulance, right?
Yeah,
and yeah, sure. And then the second one where they're going to have to beef up this technology to specifically tailor would be law enforcement, because in that line of work, you may be shot at, you may have to roll around on the ground or something, you know, this thing's going to get banged up.
That's
probably
true.
But the firefighter one, that is going to, there's no way that they can get anything but the highest grade suit possible, where it's going to have to be heat resistant or something like that, or it's going to have like, you know, special attachments. It may have to replace their current gear altogether. It's probably going to have everything they currently wear to a fire, but like, and more, you know what I mean? Because you're right, I don't see them being able to really effectively use all this stuff with the line of work they're in and with the gear they already have to wear.
Yeah, I would go as far as say, I just don't think it would probably infiltrate the fire department. I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying it's the least likely. It seems like even here and now, you and I are trying to like, we're trying to make the concept work, but even then it's coming with its caveats. Okay, so let's get to the consumer level. What idiots or people who have uses for them are buying these things?
So obviously, to be completely honest, I was just about to, let me just, before we get to that, let me ask you this question real quick.
Would I buy it?
If you could, yes, would you buy it?
It depends. So, there's nothing for the most part in my day-to-day life that requires the strength of an exosuit. Let me just start there.
Okay.
There are just very few things in my life that require the strength of an exosuit or have ever required the strength of an exosuit. That being said, I have chronic back problems. And they're severe enough where I'm going to be seeing some doctors very soon and getting x-rays and stuff to see what the fuck is actually wrong with my back, and let's try and fix these things. I've done everything I can up to this point, and it's not really getting better. But so I could see myself tempted in trying one out to see if it helps me, you know, like let's say I'm having a day with some back pain. Let me wear my exosuit today.
You're absolutely right, but you know what, well, if that's the case, by the time it became public or became available to the general public, even before that time, I would imagine it was probably already made available through medical avenues, where, you know, through insurance, they would probably, if you had good enough insurance or if they covered it, you would probably get a one designed and most likely for patients with back problems, because it would relieve stress off your back. You know what I mean? And like,
so I think if we're talking, so now we're talking about like a specialized, what I imagine would be a very light version of these things, right? Mm-hmm. Like maybe it doesn't have the arm and leg attachments. It's really just the back apparatus with maybe some upper leg stuff.
Real quick, you know what that reminds me of? Do you remember watching, did you ever watch, what was it? Not, it wasn't the, what was the last Chris Nolan Batman movie? Was it?
It was Dark Knight Rises.
Dark Knight Rises. Do you remember Bruce?
Which I think we can all agree is the worst named of the trilogy. But go ahead.
Yeah, I know, right? Did you remember that part where it shows Bruce and he's kind of limping with a cane?
Yeah.
And then when he goes to finally, you know, come back as Batman to go up and find Bane, he puts on that like device that goes like one part's wrapped around his upper thigh and the other part's kind of around his calf muscle, and it was to separate and kind of compress his knee so that way he didn't have to limp and he could use it.
Yeah, I do remember.
So I feel like the back, if there was an exoskeleton technology for back pain issues, it would be something similar to that. It would be more of a lightweight, just something to separate your back muscles to support those, so your body doesn't have to support those muscles at the time being.
Right. So the thing about this is, I think this exoskeleton that we're describing here, it would only really be quote unquote prescribed in very specific cases, because it's a double-edged sword. Like, for instance, someone like me, it would actually be a bad idea to wear this thing all the time, because rather than, you know, my back get better or me, you know, do the things I need to get my back better, I would become reliant on the exoskeleton and my muscles would atrophy, which would then exacerbate the situation. So doctors would be very reticent to just prescribe these things like crazy, because counterintuitively, it's actually worse for your back. But I could definitely see them being prescribed for particular patients who have the type of back injury or pain that is, they've already done everything they can. They've had surgery. They've done physical therapy. Like, it's as good as it's going to get, and it still is chronic pain. So let's get them an exoskeleton suit with the caveat of, like, yeah, use this suit on especially painful days or when you think you need to, but you have to continue physical therapy, because if you don't, it's going to jack up your whole system.
And you know what? They would probably have an adjustment on the suit too. Like, okay, for the first week, wear it at 100% power. Second week, wear it at, you know, 65%.
Sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you wean off of it.
Absolutely. So would I be tempted to buy like a low end one for like my really bad days? Like for instance, I'm having a really bad day. I'm having a really bad week. I'm getting better as the week keeps going, but like I would have probably been wearing it during this week. And I would have preferred the ones without arms and leg attachments because I don't want to be a giant robot, you know. Also, like my job is now both recording podcasts, but most of my job, most of the things that I do is I'm writing a book right now, and I write the scripts for the Dungeon Cast, and I Dungeon Master, which is a lot of writing as well. And it's very hard to write when you have a giant exoskeleton arms and stuff, so that wouldn't be very conducive to my day to day.
Not to mention that baby Liam will probably see you and be like, what is that? Is that robot dad? Like,
yeah, no, seriously. That being said, I could see two types of people generally, everyday people, buying these things. And, one is the people who like to do like crazy amount of like yard and like landscaping yard, you know, house, customization and stuff like that. Like people like my father-in-law who is constantly in the backyard, redoing a deck, building a shed, cutting down a tree, replanting a new tree, like doing the roofing, doing the decorating. Like he's out there. He's almost 60 and he's just out there kicking ass. And it's just what he does. Like, granted, like he would never buy this exoskeleton suit because he would feel he wouldn't need it. But I could see someone like him definitely being like, oh yeah, I'm going to get one of those and I'll be able to do even more. You know?
Yeah, that would totally. Yeah, that makes the total sense for people who do those types of jobs. Yeah.
Now, go ahead.
I was gonna say, ask me the question.
Okay. Would you? Oh God. Tom.
Yes. Yes.
What would you do with it?
Honestly, just for the cool factor, I just think it's so cool. I mean, I probably even have less use for this than you do. Like, I mean, I also have back problems, but like, I think yours are a little more than mine. But like, I would literally, it would probably only come out once a year, and that would be around Christmas time when I have to like maybe go and put up the Christmas lights and, you know, clean out the garage and this and that. Like, you know what I mean? That's the only other time. That's the only really like thing right now that I could think of that I would use that for. But I wouldn't get the higher. I would definitely get just the most affordable lower end one. But I would definitely get it.
I take back what I said. There'd be three kinds of people that would buy these things: Tom and people like him, the people who would actually use them. For what they're using.
Yeah, for real.
But the other type of person I was thinking of is, I don't know why, but like I feel there's this stereotypical archetypical type of person that I've met many times in my life. I'm sure you have. They tend to be the what do you call them? Like the doomsday prepper slash gun hoarder slash brag about hunting slash brag about my guns slash kind of people. And I definitely see those types of people buying exoskeletons and like finding any excuse to wear them publicly. Any excuse.
Yeah.
And trying to pull the like, I'm so tough because I have an exoskeleton suit.
And theirs are going to be plastic dipped in like camouflage. Exactly. You know what I mean? They're like, you know, or like American flag. Like,
It's going to be ridiculous. Everyone's going to think they're an idiot. They're going to think they look cool, but you know what? Whatever makes them happy.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, hey, you know,
whatever. They're not hurting anybody unless they're being complete assholes. In that case, shut the fuck up and stop. But, but yeah, those are the three types of like your average person. I see. Outside of like the work sector, you know, like maybe a self-employed construction worker or like heavy duty carpenter or something like that might buy their own for their own, you know, for work purposes. But when it comes to for personal use, I could see that. I could also see like I could see regional sports.
Oh, I was just about to bring that up. I was about to bring up that like I know it doesn't count like, cause like, you know, especially if you're talking about when you're in the major sports scene, you know, I wouldn't call those your average, you know, average Joe because they're making millions of dollars. They could afford the highest end quality of that stuff. But I definitely can see them using this for, you know, training to like heal from training injuries or whatever, and this and that.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
I also would think that then there would be all these things about how, oh, you need to make sure you're not wearing any of this during the gameplay. You know what I mean? Because sure, it would be sure. considered cheating and all that kind of stuff.
See, what I was thinking was I could definitely see like regional like sports scenes, you know, like, oh, hey, dude, we're gonna, you know, we're starting a football team, and be like, ah, I'm not really, you know, interested. You know, I'm too old for that. It's, oh, no, dude, it's an exosuit team. So like there's this exosuit league over in L.A. and like, you know, there's eight teams and like okay. all you got to do to qualify is get a suit, you know, and try out and like if you get in like. It's like this whole thing, man, and be like there would be like a whole subculture all around exosuit sports, and then
I didn't think that would be awesome. Actually, that would be cool. Actually.
And then I could see it like growing into. You know how like skating was like an underground thing, like back in the like late 80s, early 90s, and then it like became like a professional big thing, exports. Same with kind of with UFC. Like it started small. And kind of niche.
Yeah, that's true.
It's blown up. I could definitely see exosports like being like that.
Dude,
like,
that exosports, that's exactly what you'd probably like they would be like, are you ready for some exo? You know, like the Monday Night Football or something,
hell
you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like bum 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 bum, bum bum bum. Yeah, exactly, dude. Like, yeah. And now exo ball championships number 3, you know, or something like that.
I would definitely check it out. I can't guarantee you I'd be a fan, but I would check it out. But so yeah, that's where my mind goes with these things. Did you want to add anything?
So the only other thing I just wanted to bring up was the doom and gloom part. And the only doom and gloom that I thought about was when this falls into criminal hands, it depends on two things.
Oh,
what
shit.
Criminal hands are getting a hold of this technology? And two, how strong are these suits actually? And like how fast can they make you run?
That's
because if it really is that strong and durable and you can run and jump high, like depending on how fast and high you could jump, I mean, you could be committing a lot of crimes and getting away with them, with the exception of then you got to hope that the police's exosuits can match.
So,
you know what I mean? And that they can, you know,
yeah,
like.
Sure. And you raise a good point. And I could definitely see it like being a factor when it comes to like crime and criminal activity. But to get really doom and gloom on you, the worst thing about this is imagine, you know, with gun violence in the country, and you get these crazy people who not only get their hands on, let's say one gets their hands on a high end suit, but then they modify it and make it as bulletproof and durable as possible, so that when they go do their thing, they know they have the best chance to last as long as possible and hurt as many people as possible before they go down. Now that
exactly,
and then we start getting into like exosuit search becoming outlawed and like blah blah blah, and then like if you're caught with a modified exosuit of any, you know, it's, you know, that's jail time. And then it just turns into this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. And then I was also thinking, on a too small of a scale here. Obviously right now this technology does exist. Now it doesn't exist to the qualities of what we're talking about, but like it probably will soon become that powerful. And now you're going to have armies armed with these. Every soldier is going to have one.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And
yeah, absolutely.
That, military, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But
so
that being
that's
said,
the
like,
doom and gloom.
See, like when it comes to the military's stuff, I don't know. For me, it's a little less doom and gloom, just because like our wars nowadays are fought usually like on the larger scale of missiles. And,
yeah, they're not always on the ground all the
battleship
time.
Battleship carriers and also just like the geopolitics and, you know, economic what's the word I'm looking for? When you
they do like economic blockades
and that stuff, tariffs, et cetera, et cetera. That being said, like special ops groups would definitely be outfitted in these and sent into, you know, to key places for key operations and all that other stuff.
Are going to make for some good movies, because like those suits would be the ones that you're like,
I mean,
oh man, that's so cool.
I never like military movies. I just don't. they're not interesting to me or cool or fun.
I think some, only some. Yeah, there's only a select few, I think, that I can see that are considered like military movies. And to be honest with you, most of them that I do like are ones that take place in eras that have already gone past. Whoa, so, you know what I mean? They're yeah. But
they're a little bit less real to you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're a little less real for me. So they
They actually happened.
Yeah, I know. But, dude, could you imagine? Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Once again, I'm Fritz Frivolous, and this has been Dude, Could You Imagine? If you would like to support our show, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dudecouldyouimagine or leave us an Apple Podcast review. Don't forget, we would love to hear from you, and you can subscribe to us on Instagram at dude_couldyouimagine, on Twitter at DCYImagine, and on our YouTube channel where you can leave a like and a comment. You can also let us know what you are imagining by emailing us at dudecouldyouimagine@gmail.com. Until next time, folks, this is Fritz Frivolous reminding you to keep on imagining. I know, seriously, like they would probably try to find any excuse possible to like they're probably going to be like, freeze.
I should power up, right?
Yeah, they're going to be like, freeze, criminal, or whatever, you know, and then all of a sudden they're like, do you want to run? Are you sure you don't want to run? You know what I mean? Like they're going to give them that chance.
I'll even give you a head start. Here, look, I'll close my eyes.
Yeah, I know. Okay, I'm turning around now.
I'm going to count to 10. Yeah.